hymn number 42, Our Great Savior. Hymn number 42, and as you turn, could you please stand for the singing of this hymn? Hymn number 42.
Number 42, Our Great Savior. We'll sing the first and the last verse. The first and the last verse.
Sang songs for a couple of years, you ought to brush the dust off them again. But I want to sing one called Brought Nigh by the Blood.
I'm brought nigh by the blood. Let my heart become a promised land where take Egypt out of me.
Well, have you enjoyed your day so far?
It's been good, hasn't it? Tonight, we're going to have another great service. I hope that you'll come. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Now, let me encourage you. I told you I was in their church. Their folks say amen. And they get excited, and so they think they're doing something wrong if you don't get shouting, all right? So don't be afraid to say amen. Get excited. And when you hear something you like, that last song I requested, I love the message of that song. And it's a reminder that we all need every once in a while. Well, our preacher this morning is no stranger to us. Pastor Jeff Roberts grew up here and is one of Doc Strachan's boys, as he liked to call him. And we're so proud of Brother Roberts and glad that he's here today to bring us the Word of God. Brother Jeff, you come.
Thank you. Well, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of Revelation and chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Appreciate the music this morning, the choir, the Lake family appreciated their songs, and appreciate being here today. Always good to be back here at Bethel among friends and family, and it's always good to be able to come and preach and to bring the message. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1. Revelation 21 and verse 1. The Apostle John, writing, said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.' And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said unto me, 'It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our dear God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity today to open your word. And Lord, as we look into the topic of heaven, Lord, I'm so thankful that I'm saved. I'm so thankful that I have a Savior who died for me and came for me and, Lord, provided a way for me that I would have eternal life. So, Father, as we come here today and we open your word, we pray that you would help me as I bring out these thoughts and things that I have studied. And, Lord, may it be a blessing. May I be an encouragement to the folks here this morning. Lord, also, if there's someone here that's not saved, that doesn't know Christ as our Savior, I pray today, after seeing what we have and what you've provided, they would trust you as their Savior this morning. So, Father, we thank you and praise you. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, someone was asking a Primitive Baptist preacher a question about heaven. And the question was, "Are there short people in heaven?" And he replied, "Many are called, but few are chosen." You know, if you read history, you'll find that the Christians who did most for the present world were those who thought most of the world to come. People who did more for this world were those who actually were waiting for a world to come. They had a belief in heaven. One of those men was John Bunyan. Many of you probably heard of him before. He was a preacher back in the 1600s, I believe, who was put in prison because he would not get a license to preach. In England, if you wanted to be a preacher of the gospel, you had to get a license from the government. And if you didn't get one, they wouldn't allow you to preach. And he went to jail for 12 years because he wouldn't get that license. Well, he called the prison the den. That's how he referred to it, the den. And he said while he was in the den one night, he had fallen asleep and he had a dream. And he said that dream, in that dream, he said he pictured a pilgrim, a Christian, and how that Christian was walking their life and following a path. And in that, on that path was leading them to a celestial city. That's how he referred to heaven. And he talked about that place that he was going to and how he was going to cross a river and he would enter into that wonderful city called heaven. You know, here we have John, who many years before sat in an upper room, and the Lord Jesus Christ said something interesting to them that night before he was crucified. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." That's what Jesus said. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. If it was not so, I would have told you. I come and I'll come again and take you into that place and where I am also." And he promised them a place. And I think it's rather interesting that many years later, the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw the risen Lord. And there he saw this place. And he described it for us. It's a place called heaven. Now, many people refer to this as the eternal state. The eternal state of the Christian once they go to heaven. And that's what I want to talk about here tonight, is this place. Many people have been looking forward to this place called heaven. One of them was Abraham. Remember him back in the Old Testament? And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10, "By faith Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." You know, Abraham had by faith realized that there was a better place that was he was waiting for. And that was a place called heaven. And here we have it described for us in Revelation chapter 21. You know what? I want to just take time this morning and give three characteristics that tell us heaven is a real place. You know, I wonder, maybe there would be someone here today, maybe more, who would say, you know, is heaven real? Does heaven really exist? Is it just something that somebody made up because they were hurting? Is it just a place that, you know, a pie in the sky that someone just came up with to try to explain what the afterlife would be? You know, I believe heaven's real. And I believe it's a real place, and I'm looking forward to that place. I just got some reasons here and some characteristics that I believe John gives us why heaven is a real place. The first is obviously heaven's a real place because John said it was a prepared place. Did you notice that? In verse, he said in verse 2, "And John saw, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." That's the same word Jesus used back in John chapter 14, verse 1 to 3. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you." You know, heaven is a prepared place. You know, a little boy asked this preacher, "Well, we have shoes in heaven?" The preacher's kind of taken aback. He says, "Well, I don't know. Why do you ask?" He says, "I don't know. Just because they have souls." Warren Wiersbe said, "Human history begins in a garden and ends in a city that is like a garden paradise." You know, you go back to Genesis chapter 1, and God prepared and He created the world, didn't He? He created the heaven and the earth. And in that garden, the garden there of Eden, He put Adam and Eve. And there He had that a wonderful place prepared for them. And it was a garden. It was a garden paradise. But sadly, it wasn't very long before sin got into that place and destroyed it. And you know, the world has never been the same because of it. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. You know, even the Apostle Paul talked about that time and how sin had just, had destroyed what God had created and had marred it. And we see here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, he writes, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subject the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." That's what he's talking about. He's talking about the effect of sin in this world and how sin had marred that beautiful creation that God had given, the heaven and the earth. But you know, this idea of a new heaven and a new earth, it's not a new idea. It's not just a New Testament idea. You go back to Isaiah chapter 65 and 66, you find that God told Isaiah that there was going to be a new heaven and there was going to be a new earth. And he described that for them. Even in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, Peter talked about a new heaven and a new earth. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm sorry, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. He says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in a holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." So even Peter was talking about a new heaven and a new earth that's coming in time. You know, John saw, and I believe what he saw is consistent with Scripture, he saw a prepared place. God is preparing a place for us, and it's prepared. And it's, I like the way that John described it. He said, it's like a bride, right? You know, the bride is prepared. My mind goes back 25 years. A young man was getting married in this very auditorium. And people were waiting, and he was waiting. Actually, he was in the office of the pastor, sitting with the pastor. And he was waiting for his bride to come. And she didn't got there yet. It was about 12:45. He got a phone call. "Honey, I'm still at the house. My dad hasn't come to get me yet." Well, the young man, trying to be calm and not to upset his bride-to-be, he says, "Well, honey, don't worry. Well, I'm sure he's coming." He clicked the phone and all of a sudden panic mode, because he realized his father or future father-in-law, who was supposed to pick up his bride out in the rural district of Simcoe, was lost, because he wasn't from around here. And he had actually left to pick her up 45 minutes before. And that young man thought, "Well, that guy could be anywhere by now. How are we going to find him?" So he went to his father and told his father all the things that was happening and transpiring, and that his wife was waiting, and or his bride was waiting. And he said, he calmed down his son. He said, "Don't worry, son. We'll find him and we'll get him. Don't worry about that." And the son just began to wait and wait. And his uncle was out. The father got his uncle to go out and find him, and finally found him. And he picked her up and he brought her back, and Laura Lee and I were married that day. You know, but I was waiting. I was anticipating my bride, my beautiful bride. Anticipating, you know, that was her chance. If she wanted to get out, that was her chance right there. She blew it. You know, we're waiting, aren't we? We're anticipating a prepared place. And that's heaven. And that's what we have by faith, by the Word of God. Heaven is real because God is preparing it as we speak now. You know, we know God created the heaven and the earth that we have now. We see that. But by faith, we wait for a new heaven and a new earth. By faith in the Word of God, we wait for that place that we have. We don't see it with our physical eyes, but we see it by our faith. Because that's what the Bible says. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We look by faith, and we see a place that God is preparing for us. Heaven's a real place, number two, because God said it was a place for God's people. Do you notice that? Notice it says, let's go back to Revelation chapter 21, and it says in verse 3, Revelation chapter 21, and notice what it says there in verse 3, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God." You know, a feminist had come out and said that only 10% of the men would make it to heaven. Some was kind of questioning that low number, 10%. That's not very many. And they asked her, says, "Well, why do you think only 10% of the men will make it to heaven?" And she said, "Oh, I don't know, because it would be hell if it was more." You know, after the fall, He dwelt with God dwelt on this earth with men. He dwelt in the tabernacle between the cherubims. In that place, the Holy of Holies. But it was not like the same as it was back in the garden. In the garden, before the fall, God and man would dwell together. They would walk together. They would fellowship together. But after the fall, it changed. And even in the tabernacle, there was this division. There was this wall of partition there, the veil. And even in when the temple was made, that partition was there. But you know what? Something happened when Jesus Christ came to the earth. Because being God, He dwelt with men and He walked with men. But not only that, but when Jesus Christ died on the cross, the Bible tells us that that wall of partition that was in the temple there was torn asunder. And since then, when someone receives Christ as Savior and they come and they accept Him and Christ, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells in them. And the Bible says that they are the temple of the Holy Ghost. They are the tabernacle. And God dwells here. God dwells in each and every believer. But you know what? The Bible tells us that there's something special going to be about that place in heaven. It's going to be that the fact that sin will no longer have its effect. It will no longer have any effect in our life. Notice it says here in verse 4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, and neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." You know, no more death. No more separation. From our loved ones that have gone on before. We won't have to, that will be all done away with. No more sin. You know, just the fact that what sin is doing in lives of people, what sin has done, and that will no longer have any effect in the world in which we live. Not only that, no more crying, no more pain, all of these things, no more separation from those loved ones. They will be done away with. It's going to be a wonderful time. You know, there was three men. They were asked a certain question. And they were asked, "What do you want people to say at your funeral? What do you want people hear people talk about you or say about you?" And one man said, well, and he was an older man, he says, "Well, I want to hear people say that I was a good father. I loved my children and I cared for them, provided for them. And, you know, I was a good dad." The second one, a little bit younger, middle-aged, he says, "Well, I want to hear people say that I made him happy. I made him happy. I did what I could to help him. I was a good citizen, a good friend. The youngest one, the younger man, he thought for a moment, what do I want people to think, say of me, for me? He said, look, he's moving. You know, we look for a heaven because the Bible says that we have victory in Jesus Christ. That's why we can look for a heaven. We look for a heaven because we have victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ, He defeated death. He defeated sin at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we have victory. And we're going to have victory over those things. And not only that, but the Bible says that because of that victory, we have comfort. You know, in my years as a pastor, I've been able to do some funerals. And what a comfort it is when you can stand before a born-again believer who's gone on to be with the Lord and say to that family, you'll see him again. You'll see him again. He's just gone for a little while, but we'll see him one more time. Well, that's, to a pastor doing a service, like that's a wonderful blessing. And to be able to give that type of comfort to people that are wanting comfort, that are wanting you to say something that will comfort them. And you know, that's what the Bible tells us. And that's all because of what we believe about the Word of God. And then heaven's a real place because John said it's an inherited place. Look back in chapter 21 again, Revelation 21 and verse 5. It says, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. You know, we as believers are overcomers. We have the victory. And the Bible talks about that. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? You know, the fact that we are trusting in Jesus Christ today as our Savior, we're trusting in what He has done, His finished work on the cross, and how we have accepted that and have by faith have received that, that gives us the ability to overcome. And we're overcomers. We have the victory, as I said before. And it's through Christ. It's not because of our strength. It's not anything that we have or talent that we might receive. But it's what Christ has done for us. And because of that, we're not the losers. I know the unsaved. And I like that song Brother Lake sang about the crutch. They look at Christians, all you Christians, you need a crutch. The cross is a crutch. And yeah, that's true. But you know what? We're not the losers. Amen. Christians aren't losers. Christians are winners. Saved people that know Christ as Savior, we're the winners. Because the losers are the ones who will not receive Christ. They've rejected Him. And they will not call upon Him. And sadly, John talks about them as well in verse 8. He says, but the fearful and unbelieving, all that holdeth, those are the losers. And sadly, and I don't say that in glee tonight because I'd hate for anyone to die and go to a lost eternity. But they're going to miss out. And their future isn't very good for them. And they're going to miss out on that wonderful place that God has prepared. And they're going to a place that God prepared for Satan and his angels, not for us. But because people will reject Christ, they go to a lost eternity, the lake of fire. And that's sad when you think about it. And That's why so many people are out there today trying to win people to Jesus Christ. Because they know that. And they're trying to win them. Of course, people are getting saved today and coming to know Christ all around this world. And praise the Lord for it. And they're overcoming. And they're going to have the victory in their life. And even us today, we have the victory through Christ. D.L. Moody, back in 1871, his house was lost in that great Chicago fire. And you know, he had gone to that house after it was all gone. And someone came up to him and they said to him, "I heard you lost everything, Mr. Moody." And Mr. Moody kind of thought for a minute. He says, "No, I've got way more than I lost." And the person said to him, he said, "Well, that's funny. I didn't know you were a wealthy person. I didn't know you had all these riches." You know, D.L. Moody took out his Bible and he showed him Revelation chapter 21 and verse 7. And he read to him, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things." Amen. All things. You know, we get so attracted and so attached to things of this world. But folks, they're all going to be gone. They're all going to be dissolved. And what we need to rethink about, and I know we have to be balanced, and I'm not saying we shouldn't be balanced, but what we need to do on occasion is just remember and look and see by faith what we have in Christ. And we have a great inheritance for us. And we're going to inherit those things that He's prepared for us. So heaven's a real place because it's a place prepared. You know, every child of God can receive comfort from their faith in the Word of God that heaven is a real place. I hope I've encouraged you today and comforted you that there is a place called heaven and that it's real. You know, there was a young lady. She had married a young man and things weren't going too good in their marriage. Just fighting and bickering and things like that. And finally, one day she just kind of packed up everything in her suitcase and she just left. And she didn't say where she was going, what she was doing. She just left. Her husband came home and saw that everything was gone and that she was gone. And he was quite worried about her. So he called the police and put out a search for her, all points bulletin or whatever they call it. And finally, the police came to him after a week and says, "Well, we found your wife. She's just over in a couple of counties, living in a motel, and do you want us to bring her home?" Well, you know, through that time, that husband started to think. And he started to realize that, you know, I really hadn't been treating her very well. I hadn't really been speaking to her and kind of not treating her like I should have been as a loving husband. So he said, "No, just leave her there." And he sat down and he began to write a letter. He began to write how much he loved her and how much he cared about her. And he sent that letter to her. But he never got a response. So he sat down again and wrote another letter and another letter. And he sent it and never didn't get a response again. He did that a few times, still no response. Finally, it came at Christmas time and he got in his car and he went to that place where she was. And he found that she was kind of living in an old run-down motel. And he knocked on the door and she let him in. They talked for a little bit. And then he said to her, he said, "Honey, will you come home?" And she got up right away, packed up everything, and said, "Sure, let's go home." And they were in the car going home. And, you know, he was kind of curious about something. He looked over to her and he says, "Honey, I wrote all those letters to you, and you never answered one of them. But yet I come in person and I just have to ask one time, and here we are going home. What's the difference?" And she said, "Because those were just letters. This time, you came in person." You know, Jesus Christ didn't just talk about home. He came down here in person. And He died on an old rugged cross because He loved us. Because He loved you and He loved me and He gave His life that we could have eternal life. And He says to us, He says, "I want to take you home. I got a place for you. I want to take you home." And all we have to do by faith is trust in Him. Receive His finished work on Calvary and trust in Him and ask Him to come into our hearts and save us. And you know what? We can go home. I wonder, maybe you're here this morning, crowd like this, I don't know. Maybe just about everybody here is saved, but maybe there's one who isn't saved. You've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe today you would realize you had a Savior who loved you and cared for you, and He was willing to come down to this earth so that He could take you home, take you to a place that He's prepared for you, a place for you where God's people will dwell, a place where you will receive all the inheritance that He has for you. He wants you to go to that place. I wonder, if you're here this morning, would you trust Christ as your Savior? And then, Christian, I know this old world can get hard. It can get tough. A lot of times, it's hard to see by faith, and it's hard to, you know, to realize what we have. But you know what? We have a wonderful Savior. And God has given us some wonderful promises. And I think one of the greatest promises we have is that there's a home in heaven for us. And we just need to remember that sometimes. And we need to remind ourselves of that. That this old world is just for a short time. But one day we're going home. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your blessings. And Lord, we just thank You for the fact that we have a home in heaven. And Lord, I pray maybe there's someone here today that's not saved. They don't know Christ as Savior. Lord, maybe today they would trust Christ. I'm sure here in this group there's some Christians who are hurting. There's some Christians who are wondering what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen next week. Lord, just help them to keep their minds and their eyes on Christ. And Lord, let heaven be a comfort to them. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'm going to turn the service over to Pastor Ferry.